Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
One man's dreams of serving his country were cut short after an early morning shooting in Fayetteville. Four people were shot. Two are dead, two are in the hospital. Why police do not believe this was a random act.
Also, an important reminder of the importance of the move-over law, where this startling scene played out. And the clouds are breaking up across the area. See this live look at Durham. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful afternoon. I'll show you some warmer temperatures headed our way.
Gunfire erupted in a Fayetteville neighborhood this morning and wounded two people and left two others dead. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. This happened around 3:30 this morning in the 700 block of Rembrandt Drive. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is on scene now with new information from investigators. Gilbert.
Now, Renee and Jeff, just a tough situation out here. As you guys have already mentioned, two people wounded, two people dead. In talking with police this morning, they say this is not a random act because the individuals knew each other. What we don't know is if they were shooting amongst themselves or if there was a gunman on the loose right now. That's what they're still trying to investigate and determine. Let me take you to the scene here. Police spent several hours this morning talking with witnesses and gathering evidence. Folks who live in this area say they heard more than a dozen gunshots ring out. Now, police have not identified the victims, but family members say the two men who died were cousins. 24-year-old Alzi Diamond, who had a 1-year-old daughter, and 18-year-old Alzari Elliott. His brother says Elliott was set to graduate next week from Cape Fear High School and had plans to join the military, and now he's gone.
It hurts. It hurts. I just talked to my brother last week, you know, and making sure he was good, and it hurts. That's my baby brother. I don't have any more brothers now. I'm the last boy.
Darius Elliott says this is extremely painful because he just lost his other brother earlier this month to a heart attack. We're told that the two other victims were rushed to Cafer Valley Medical Center in critical condition. Now, there are several homes out here that have video cameras, so police are asking anyone who's out here to check that footage and see if there's anything that will help their investigation. Renee, they're also asking anyone who knows anything about what happened out here to give them a call.
Such young lives cut short. Gilbert Bays reporting live in Fayetteville. Now, this latest shooting comes exactly 1 week after Fayetteville police say a Douglas Byrd High School student was shot to death by her boyfriend. Police say Nasir Scott shot and killed Tatiana Haywood and then turned the gun on himself. Haywood was set to graduate from Douglas Byrd High School. Scott died from his injuries at the hospital. The school system says Scott was a former student.
A debt ceiling bill appears to be closer to passing. The House votes this evening, but there is bipartisan outrage over the details of this bill. So today will be a day of high-stakes debate. Lucas Tomlinson takes a look at the issues dividing the parties.
6-6, what should I do?
After hours of debate and a narrow 7-6 vote, the debt limit bill cleared a key committee hurdle and is now heading to the House floor for a final vote.
Everybody has a right to their own opinion, but on history, I'd want to be here with this bill today.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy facing a revolt from his party's right flank, mostly from the more conservative members of the Freedom Caucus. And at least one member is looking to oust him over the negotiations.
I have read the bill, so it's not going to be trillions of dollars in savings. It actually might be just a few billions of dollars in savings.
The bipartisan deal brokered by the president and House Speaker would suspend the $31.4 trillion borrowing limit until early 2025 and includes spending cuts and enhanced work requirements for welfare recipients. It must pass the House and Senate by June 5th or else risk a debt default.
The government wouldn't be able to service any functions or services at all. It would be a catastrophe.
McCarthy will likely need Democratic votes to get the bill passed because conservatives say the spending cuts are not enough and progressives have issues ranging from welfare to the environment.
You take away work requirements, you take away Manchin's pipeline, you'll probably have me in support of this bill.
White House negotiators are meeting with the Democratic caucus Wednesday behind closed doors to tout the benefits of the deal.
I'm ready to hear what the White House has to say so that I can make my final
decision. But as of now, I am a lean no.
That was Lucas Tomlinson reporting. If the bill passes the House, the Senate could be working all weekend to get it passed. Let's take a look at stocks this noon. We see where the Dow Jones Industrial Average is going as investors are still worried about getting a deal done. It has been in the red all morning long and it is sitting 244 in the negative right now.
It is so nice to finally see some sunshine out there, and we also have a nice breeze keeping our temperatures very comfortable. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRU Severe Weather Center with a look at how our temperatures are going to go up later this week.
Finally, we're getting rid of that system that was hanging around all weekend. We take a live look here at RDU, a nice mix of sun and clouds, and that sunshine will warm us up nicely on into the 70s. As a matter of fact, it's already 74. And as Renee said, a little breezy. We have a northeast wind at 10 miles per hour. That's going to keep our temperatures in the 70s today. But we'll gradually see our temperatures climbing into the 80s. Look at this high-resolution satellite image. We have this hole in the clouds. It started to develop at around 10 a.m., and it stretches all the way down through the middle of the viewing area. So down to the south in Fayetteville, Clinton, we're still seeing some cloud cover, and in some of our eastern counties as well. But we've got this nice spot right there in the middle where we're seeing some good sunshine breaking through. And that's where the temperatures are warmest. 74 in the triangle is 68 in Roxborough, 70 in Fayetteville. So you can see the difference that sunshine really makes. Our hour-by-hour forecast, we're going to climb it on up into the mid to upper 70s this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. And areas that are still dealing with cloud cover right now should begin to see more sunshine through the afternoon. Coming up, we'll talk more about when our temperatures climb on up into the 80s.
Elizabeth, thanks. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie could enter the presidential race as early as next week. Sources tell NBC News Christie plans to make the announcement during a town hall in Manchester, New Hampshire. This would mark his second run for president. He finished sixth in the 2016 New Hampshire primary before dropping out of the race entirely. He then endorsed Donald Trump just days before Super Tuesday, lending a credible name to the former president's momentum at the time. Christie later emerged as a vocal critic of Trump after Trump refused to concede his loss to Biden in 2020. A push to allow you to bet on sports using your phone could be just a few steps away from becoming law in North Carolina. The full state Senate today will vote on a bill to legalize it. If it passes, the bill would have to go back to the House before reaching the governor's desk. That's because the Senate made some changes to that bill, including a measure that could delay its rollout until next June. It would also make in-person cash betting legal at certain sports venues.
Many times you'll hear us remind our viewers about the importance of the state's move-over law. This video out of Georgia shows what can happen when drivers don't slow down or give that buffer lane for emergency vehicles. This body cam video right here.
Good.
This body cam video shows from a deputy in Georgia the aftermath of the car accident, but another car then hit that tow truck and flew about 120 feet in the air. The 21-year-old driver survived the accident. A deputy was also injured by flying debris. No word on the driver in the first incident. That's amazing. Authorities are searching for the driver who led troopers on a high-speed chase before crashing. State troopers say someone stole this car in Person County. The driver led troopers on a chase at speeds over 100 miles an hour at one point into Durham County last night. The driver eventually crashed the stolen car near Hillendale Road and Horton Street in Durham. The person was able to run away from both the car and authorities.
A warning this afternoon about a surge in IRS scams. Google searches with the phrase IRS text scams skyrocketing more than 800% in the last 24 hours. Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur joins us now live from Wake Forest with what to look out for. Keely, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Renee. We are at the Northern Wake Senior Center in Wake Forest. This is a very vibrant senior center. This is the Age My Way event. Very cool. I just want to show you what's going on here. Tons of programming, and this event is all about empowering seniors. The one thing that we want to talk to, though, is the downside of this vibrant time in your life is that we know this age group is definitely targeted for scams. I want to talk to you about this text IRS scam. It's basically somebody texting you saying they're from the IRS and that you owe money or that you're going to get a refund, don't listen to it. It's all just a way to get your money. So first thing I want you to look out for, do not click on any links that are sent to you. Finally, make sure that you're avoiding emails, phone calls. The IRS is not going to contact you that way out of the blue. You can check your actual status for your refund or your return on IRS.gov. And you can also say, hey, I think I've been a victim of a scam or someone's targeting me on IRS.gov. That's where you can report it. The next thing that we talk to seniors about besides the amazing things happening here is the fact that they know they have to be vigilant. They say themselves or their friends certainly have been targeted for scams.
We were actually at the bridge class, holding bridge on Fridays, and one of the ladies said, yeah, she just got scammed.
I'm very leery about, you know, scam going on, so I try to be very careful who I speak with and what I tell people.
And this aging population is a huge population in North Carolina. 1.7 million people in the state are 65 and older. The Northern Wake Senior Center has all kinds of amazing programming. They're trying to teach folks about scams and how to avoid them. They have yoga, Tai Chi, they have Italian lessons, field trips. We just had to kind of leave the area. We were going to do this live shot because someone's playing the saxophone. So many fun things, but again, we want people to be watching out for that IRS tech scam. We're going to have more details on that coming up on our news at 5.
Love how they're embracing their age, but keeping safe from those scams, thanks to important information from Keely Arthur. Thanks, Keely.
We're just days away from Raleigh's bike share program returning. After changing vendors, the city's bike program will be back in action the first week of June. June starts tomorrow. The city is also offering 60 days of free rides to celebrate the reopening of the program. The program was put on hold due to the change in vendors and the need for new parts for the new system.
Next at noon, today is World No Tobacco Day. How the message is just as important now as it was when it started decades ago.
Also, a very special delivery on the front porch of a Virginia home, but not what this family was expecting when their doorbell alerted them.
Plus, a nearly 9-hour standoff ends with an arrest. At 12:30, how a man in Butner terrified neighbors before surrendering.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Today marks World No Tobacco Day. The event was launched by the World Health Organization back in 1987. Its purpose was to raise awareness about how destructive tobacco is for our health and the planet. Marianne Rafferty examines how the WHO is continuing to sound the alarm decades later.
On this year's World No Tobacco Day, the World Health Organization says it's time the deadly crop met its match.
We are prioritizing health.
Besides causing cancer, tobacco can also increase your risk for heart and lung disease, diabetes, stroke, and more. But tobacco use isn't the only concern. WHO data reveals more than 7 million acres of land across more than 120 countries are being used to grow tobacco, worsening the ongoing global food insecurity crisis.
350 million people face severe food insecurity. And then countries, especially those countries where those people live, actually use their fertile land to grow tobacco.
Even if they don't smoke, those working on tobacco farms are also prone to severe health complications, besides exposure to large volumes of pesticides.
The people who work in the lands who grow tobacco, they actually consume as much nicotine as is contained in 50 cigarettes a day. Women who are pregnant, and of course to the 1 million children who are also working in the lands.
The WHO is directing a large focus on combating tobacco farming in countries across Asia, South America, and Africa.
That was Marianne Rafferty reporting, and worldwide, more than 8 million people die from tobacco-related deaths and causes each year. While more than 7 million of those deaths are from tobacco use, the WHO says Roughly 1.2 million are non-smokers who die from secondhand smoke.
A new report out shows more than half of the country's teachers believe arming themselves would make students less safe. It also found one in five teachers say they would be interested in carrying a gun to school. The survey found 54% of teachers think carrying firearms would make schools less safe. 20% believe teacher carry programs would make schools safer, and 26% did not think it would make a difference. Colleges will soon have the option to hide students' race and ethnicity on applications sent through a popular app. More than 1,000 colleges use the Common App and will have the option to hide that information starting August 1st. The move comes as the U.S. Supreme Court is getting ready to rule that schools can no longer take race into consideration in admissions programs. The issue is linked to lawsuits against UNC Chapel Hill and Harvard over their affirmative action policies.
A Wake County woman is warning people to watch their step outdoors after she spotted two copperheads in the backyard near her two dogs. Jessica Price saw the snakes mating near her back porch in Knightdale. Wildlife experts say this is mating season for the species, which is the most common venomous snake in North Carolina. Experts say if you see snakes mating, don't try to remove them or kill them.
Avoid them because, you know, at that point, those snakes have got more on their mind than a dog or a person.
During mating season, snakes are drawn to warm areas that keep them from becoming prey for other animals like hawks and owls.
And Jeff, lately we've reported bear sightings in Wake County yards, but a Virginia woman was surprised to see a family on her front porch. We're talking a family of bears, a mama bear and three cubs made their way onto her porch before they decided to move along. The homeowner was alerted by her doorbell camera. She says at first she thought it was a delivery person, but soon got quite a surprise.
And I thought it was a dog walker or someone delivering something. And then I actually looked at it and it was a bear right in the camera with. And then I realized it had cubs with it, which was just wild.
They're furrier than your average delivery person. Wildlife experts say to prevent bears from showing up on your porch, you should put away your garbage as well as pet food and bird seed. Thank goodness for those doorbell cameras, though, and you've got a story to tell, whether it's going out and seeing a bear or snakes. Go out and see some sunshine.
Oh, my. Yeah.
I know.
Don't open the door for that one. And the little ones this time of year, you know, they're very protective. Elizabeth Gardner's over in the WRS Severe Weather Center protecting our day weather-wise. We've got some sunshine out there.
We do. Right here, the DBAP, it looks absolutely beautiful. And, you know, take advantage of these pleasant temperatures that we're seeing right now. We could easily be seeing, you know, a few days here and there in the 90s, and we have not seen any 90-degree days yet. So looking at 70s for folks headed out to the ball game tonight. The Bulls are here all the way through the weekend. They have an earlier game tonight, 5:30. It's a makeup game. 6:30 tomorrow. Tomorrow and on Friday, temperatures are going to be in the 70s at game time for all three of those games. And at least during the evening, we should see mostly to partly cloudy skies. So everything looks perfect, really, for baseball. Here's our high-resolution satellite. We took a look at that earlier. You can sort of watch the progress of that dry air that comes sliding right down into the middle of our viewing area. So we're seeing sunshine, at least around the triangle. But we take a look at Pinehurst, and there's a bit more cloud cover here. There are definitely some holes in the clouds. It's not stopping anybody. It still feels really nice out there. There are plenty of folks out there on the putting green at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. Looks fabulous. Our temperatures around the triangle in the mid-70s. We'll climb into the upper 70s this afternoon. Our dew point 62, and so it feels a little stickier than it did last week at times, but it's still fine. You know, it's 72. That's when it really feels oppressively muggy. Check this out. I cannot remember when we had low pollen counts for weeds, trees, and grasses. Not that it won't bump up a little bit here and there, but we are definitely on the backside of those high pollen numbers. Really good to see all three of those nice and low. Temperatures are looking good. It's in the mid-70s right now where we're seeing more sunshine here in the Triangle. 71 in Fayetteville and Clinton, 70 in Rocky Mount, 70 degrees in Roxborough. So feeling very pleasant out there. Round town, 77 in Raleigh this afternoon, 78 in Durham, and 80 degrees in Fayetteville. Warmer temps are coming. 84 degrees is our normal high, and we'll be there by Friday. Saturday also looks warm. Saturday is going to come with a front, and there may be some scattered showers or thunderstorms with that front. We're going to walk through the timeline for for that coming up. Our humidity is up a little too, especially Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're into the 60s, and that's going to feel a little stickier than it did for parts of last week, but definitely not that really oppressive summer feel to the atmosphere just yet. And it may be still a few more weeks before we feel it. Take a look at our temperature outlook. Most of the south and east are looking at a great chance of below normal temperatures from June 5th through the 9th. So we get at least through the first week of June with the potential for below normal temperatures. But normal temperatures are, of course, 84 degrees. So anything that's below 84, puts it below normal. Saturday, 86 with that chance, just a 30% chance of thunderstorms. And we'll see that again on Tuesday. So we'll walk through that timeline for the weekend for rain coming up. It doesn't look like much.
Elizabeth, thanks. A massive sporting event is coming to Cary, and it's bringing some big names in the world of soccer. Today at 4, Matt Tallhelm breaks down the economic benefit and the fan excitement surrounding the tournament.
And a string of car break-ins reported at the Umstead Hotel, and it may not be the first time this has happened. We're getting answers from investigators today at 5. And still ahead this noon, another dimension could be coming to video calls. Coming up here about Google's project to make 3D calls a reality.
And a warning about the dangers of AI. Why industry experts say it could lead to the extinction of the human race. One airline wants to weigh you before you board, and home prices are rebounding. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Home prices were up in March for the second month in a row. The national index of prices from S&P and Case-Shiller rose 0.7%. The back-to-back gains could indicate the decline in home prices has ended, according to S&P. Now, prices in the Southeast continue to show the biggest gains. They were up 5.4% in March, but West Coast prices keep dropping. Seattle and San Francisco showed losses of more than 10% for the month. The FDA has issued a warning about compounded versions of the drug semaglutide. The drug is approved for treatment of diabetes and excess weight. The FDA says compounding is the process of combining, mixing, or altering ingredients to create a medication aimed at the needs of an individual patient. But the agency doesn't review the compounded versions for safety, effectiveness, or quality. The FDA says it has received reports of adverse effects in people who use compounded semaglutide. Air New Zealand is asking passengers to step on a scale and be weighed before boarding its international flights. It's part of a periodic survey to gather data on the weight of everything on the plane, including passengers, crew, and carry-on bags. Passengers' weight won't be displayed, but rather fed directly into a computer and recorded anonymously. Air New Zealand says it's entirely voluntary. The weight info is used to calculate things like fuel consumption and balance of the aircraft. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Uber is dropping the 5% discount on eligible rides to members of its Uber One subscription service. That's according to an email sent to its customers. Rideshare users will now earn 6% of so-called Uber Cash on rides that can be spent on Uber and Uber Eats. Uber One costs $9.99 a month or $100 a year, and discounts have driven growth. The company says membership doubled last year to roughly 12 million people. Google is looking to add a new dimension to video calling. The new system is known as Project Starline. It's been in the works since 2021. The latest prototype uses AI to create a 3D model of a person during a video call. The current program is much smaller than other versions and requires less complicated hardware for businesses to use it. Google hasn't announced when Project Starline will be made available.
A nearly nine-hour standoff at an apartment ends with an arrest. Neighbors describe the tense moments leading to that arrest.
Plus, there's a nationwide shortage of emergency medical services, including EMTs and paramedics. How some cities are meeting that need. And hear your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A man is in custody after a nearly nine-hour standoff at a local apartment complex. Neighbors started returning to the Edgewood Bridge apartment in Butner around 6 a.m. They were evacuated as law enforcement worked to reach the man who had barricaded himself inside. Eric Miller was there in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker when the arrest was made.
Amazingly, nobody inside or outside the Edgewood Bridge apartments was hurt during these long, tense hours. Still, neighbors say this was way too close a call. with robots, flashbangs, and sirens. Butner police, Granville County deputies, and members of the SBI try to drive out a man barricaded inside his apartment.
He surrounded the area. We evacuated the building.
Butner police say this all started when the man fired a bullet through his neighbor's wall. Family telling us that shot narrowly missed a man on the other side who was giving his three-year-old child a bath.
So he bent down to, you know, and put a towel around her, and he heard something go, pow. When he heard pow, he reached and grabbed her. He grabbed the boys. They both, all of them went to the floor. He scooped them into the bedroom, and he looks up, and right where he was standing, there's a bullet hole.
The standoff finally ended just before 5 a.m. The suspect inside giving himself up to police. That man now likely to face a long list of charges. Neighbors say the man now in custody had been a problem for months, saying he had threatened and harassed people before. They only wish someone, whether that was apartment management or police, had been able to do something before things went this far. In Butner, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, this just in, the Oklahoma Supreme Court has ruled that two state laws banning abortion are unconstitutional. However, abortion remains illegal in the state in most cases still. The high court said that the two bans are unconstitutional because they require a medical emergency before a doctor can perform an abortion. But the court says that actually conflicts with a previous ruling back in March that provides an inherent right of a pregnant woman to terminate a pregnancy when necessary to prevent her life. The Oklahoma Attorney General is commenting on this afternoon, saying despite the court's decisions today, abortion is still unlawful in the state of Oklahoma.
Michelle, thanks. We will learn more today about possible changes to the way your child learns science in North Carolina public schools. Members of the State Board of Education are talking about proposed revisions to science standards. Those revisions will not be up for a vote, only for discussion. Another big topic on the agenda today, changes to middle school and junior high sports rules, including adding mercy rules and excluding Sundays from makeup game days. North Carolina students are calling on state leaders to stop violence in schools. The cast of the student play State of Emergency met yesterday with State Superintendent of Public Instruction Kathy Truitt. Their play confronts violence in schools and suggests ways to address it. Back in February, these students performed the play at Hillside High School in Durham. The performance came a couple of weeks after two students from the school were shot. This year, North Carolina schools have seen a number of threats and reports of students with guns in schools. One student told us about a solution she shared with the state superintendent.
Making sure teachers have the training and the resources to better equip our students mental health with mental health, emotionally, being able to go to be able to provide a safe space for their students.
Truitt did not make herself available for an interview before or after the meeting.
Our county by county coverage takes us to Nash and Orange counties. People in Rocky Mount may notice a slight difference in the taste and smell of their tap water starting tomorrow. The city will switch from ammonia to chlorine to treat its water for about a month. It'll be safe still to drink, cook, and bathe or shower. You should be mindful, though, if you use tap water for fish aquariums or kidney dialysis machines. In Orange County, grown-ups will be able to go to their own Back to the Future prom, and it is all for charity. Tickets are $115. All proceeds go to the Boys and Girls Club of Durham and Orange Counties. The tickets include appetizers from Mel's Catering. There'll be music from 1955 to 1985, played by the band Mixtape Grab Bag. The event is June 16th. That's a Friday night from 8 to 11 p.m. at the Carrboro Century Center. Tickets are available at CarrboroProm.com. Now, we now know the name of the boy who was killed while riding his electric scooter in a neighborhood in Apex. A terrible tragedy there. Ian Vacheri was a fourth grader at Combs Elementary School. He died Monday, and neighbors tell us that he and some other friends were playing in the street on Woodall Crest Drive when a car hit them. The driver was not hurt and is not facing charges at this time. Police say their full investigation will take a few weeks.
One EMT is bringing down the number of 911 calls in an area of Indianapolis with the highest call volume by herself. How? She's working full-time in a men's homeless shelter. The approach is called community paramedicine. NBC's Zinli Essamoa takes a look at the impact.
Are you able to set up at all that I
It's around 9:30 a.m. in Indianapolis.
What's your name?
EMT Alicia Dingledine Warren is mid-conversation when she's pulled to administer aid.
Do you know what today is?
Alicia works full-time at the Wheeler Mission Homeless Center for Men as an embedded emergency medical technician, or EMT. Her work is needed as there's a nationwide shortage of emergency medical services, including EMTs and paramedics.
You all right?
We've seen in the state of Indiana over the last 5 years more paramedics leaving the field than are entering the field.
It's a national trend. Okay. A federal study projecting a need for 40,000 more full-time emergency medical personnel from 2016 to 2030. To become a certified EMT, individuals must pass a national certification exam, including a fitness test. Paramedics require additional education and training. To address the need, some communities are incentivizing prospects, offering thousands in scholarships for paramedic training. Alicia hopes her work at the shelter gives EMS workers in her community more bandwidth.
What that does is decreases the number of trucks that are running to that area and makes them more available for other 911 calls.
By embracing community paramedicine, Alicia is providing comprehensive emergency care outside the hospital setting.
I'm officially here now.
Assisting with scheduling doctor's appointments, picking up prescriptions, applying for social services, and more.
So I'm getting your medicine.
According to Indianapolis EMS, the shelter's 911 call volume, one of the highest in the city, drops 48% during the hours Alicia is in the building. For individuals like Charles Powell, it's been life-changing. 3 years ago, Charles suddenly became blind and lost his job and home.
It was scary. Real scary. Not being able to see.
At the shelter, he met Alicia, who connected him with an eye surgeon.
I said I had cataracts. They said it's the thickest cataracts I'd ever seen.
But today, thanks to that medical care, Charles can see again and largely credits Alicia. The EMT hoping amid this shortage, more frontline workers will return and work even closer with their communities. Zinclair Assomois, NBC News.
No mincing words here. Industry leaders are warning artificial intelligence could eventually wipe out the human race. The catastrophic events to which they're comparing AI.
And we're coming up on hurricane season. The prediction for what we could see in the Atlantic and what makes this year's forecast especially challenging. A chilling warning about the dangers of artificial intelligence. Industry leaders say it could lead to the extinction of the human race. Hundreds of top AI scientists, researchers, and others issued the warning in a one-sentence open letter. They say the rapidly advancing technology should be viewed as a priority alongside pandemics and nuclear war. They list those as systemic bias, misinformation, malicious use, cyber attacks, and weaponization.
The FDA is issuing a warning about some approved treatments for diabetes and weight loss. The agency says compounded versions of drugs, including Ozempic and Wegovy, are not reviewed for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Both drugs are on the FDA's drug shortages list, which sometimes leads to compounded or mixed versions being prepared. The FDA says it has received reports of side effects in people who use the compounded version. New data this morning shows more children and teens are getting weight loss surgery. The number for children ages 10 to 19 has been on the rise since 2016. And between 2020 and 21, it jumped almost 20%, while the number of adults getting the surgery dipped because of the pandemic. The CDC says childhood obesity impacts 1 in 5 children in the U.S. Previously, the American Academy of Pediatrics urged behavior therapy and lifestyle changes to treat obesity. Now the organization recommends weight loss surgery and medication for those battling severe cases.
Hurricane season starts tomorrow. Coming up, how many named storms we could see.
Plus, Pokemon fans could soon live on a street named after their favorite Pokemon, where the neighborhood developer says she got this idea. Tomorrow, June 1, is the official start of the 2023 hurricane season, and while many are hoping for a calmer summer after last year's devastating storms, there are a couple of factors at play here that are battling each other and will ultimately determine whether there's trouble coming in the months ahead. Lauren Blanchard has the story.
hurricane season is right around the corner, officially kicking off in the Atlantic on June 1st. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says they are predicting 12 to 17 named storms, with 5 to 9 becoming hurricanes and 1 to 4 that could become devastating storms.
That it's definitely kind of a rare setup for this year. And that's why our probabilities are not 60 or 70%. They are a little bit to reflect that uncertainty.
Their predictions come with a disclaimer. There are two conditions making it harder for meteorologists to precisely predict whether it will be calmer than usual or dangerous.
So you have these kind of these two big factors at play, one trying to drive it to a very quiet season, the other trying to bring it to a very busy season.
First, there is this year's El Nino, which would normally calm the waters in the Atlantic. However, the waters are unusually warm, which makes for ripe conditions because warmer water means stronger hurricanes.
Normally, a much warmer than normal Atlantic leads to a well above normal Atlantic hurricane season.
The 2022 Atlantic season had 14 named storms with two major hurricanes, Fiona and Ian, which caused billions of dollars in damage and killed dozens. Both of those names were retired. This year, up first, the list will start with Arlene and Brett. The 2023 season runs until the end of November.
As Lauren Blanchard reporting, and as with all severe weather, the safest and smartest thing to do is to pay attention to local media and follow instructions and evacuation orders from local officials. And as we head into hurricane season, be sure you have the WRL weather app so you can stay ahead of any weather-related concerns. It's free wherever you get your apps.
Pay attention to local media. That's what our team of meteorologists do, tracking the tropics. Elizabeth Gardner shows us what's happening there right now.
Yeah, watch us here on WRAL. We'll do our best to keep you safe during the tropical season, which, of course, officially starts tomorrow. But we already have this system. Now, it's just a 10 to 20% chance that it would develop. But we're watching that there in the Gulf. It's likely to move across the Florida Peninsula and sort of start to float toward North Carolina. But we'll take a look at the computer model, and I'll show you why it doesn't look like it's actually going to make it here. Notice what happens by 4 o'clock tomorrow. I've got this little bit of a spin that's happening in the atmosphere. We'll continue to push that forward, and you can see it starts to redevelop there off the coast of Florida. I've got that circled there. So this is going to be 4 o'clock on Sunday, and then it starts to try to drift northward, but we're going to see a strong flow coming out of the north that will actually push that down to the south and east and away from North Carolina. So it does not look like something that's going to have a big impact for us early next week. We could see some high rip current danger. Other than that, it doesn't look like it's going to be a storm that becomes a tropical storm or a system that becomes a tropical storm. It doesn't look like it's going to have a big effect on us. But watching it, you know, we'll see. Hopefully it won't be a terribly active season. Goldsboro, Fayetteville, Apex, Chapel Hill, all seeing some sunshine right now. It's a little breezy. We still have our wind coming out of the northeast, which makes it feel nice and cool. That low pressure system sitting offshore is the same one that's been wandering around across North Carolina for well over a weekend. Of course, we saw it Saturday, and here it is. We're still dealing with it on Wednesday. We take a look at Thursday. We're seeing some sunshine right now. Thursday's likely to start with some cloud cover, and much like today, we'll end up seeing some sunshine breaking through, maybe an isolated shower, but our chance of that is really slim. On Friday, again, waking up with some cloud cover, ending up maybe with a slight chance of a shower down south. A cold front drops in on us on Saturday, but look at the rain with this, or not. It just looks like it's going to be fairly dry. Now, we have the potential for an isolated shower or thunderstorm with that front, which if it happened would be late in the day on Saturday into Saturday evening, but the models are not too excited about it. As a matter of fact, this is a look at our potential rainfall between now and Sunday, which for most of us is zero to a trace. But you can see from, say, Fayetteville, Clinton, south and east, it could be up to a tenth of an inch. So not likely to see very much rain in the next several days, but we do have some small chances. We have a small chance tomorrow, 20% chance, 20 Friday, 30 Saturday, and 30 again on Tuesday. But it looks like most of us would end up staying dry, and we should have some nice breaks in the clouds during the afternoon, pretty much all the way across. Sunday really looks like a nice day. We'll see partly cloudy skies, 78, a nice little drop in our humidity. We do bounce back up into the mid-80s on Tuesday. Of course, it looks like we could stay below normal into next week. So still no 90s in our 7-day forecast. That's okay.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we've just learned that police have made another arrest in the case involving Wake County Deputy Ned Byrd. This is now the fourth person to be arrested. This is 19-year-old Rolando Marin Sotelo. He's been arrested and charged with accessory after the fact. They arrested him at the Durham Detention Center where he was being held on a federal detainer. You may remember brothers Arturo Marin Sotelo and Alder Marin Sotelo are both charged with Byrd's murder. Deputy Byrd was shot and killed back in August of 2022. We do have a reporter on the story. We'll have more information coming up at 4 o'clock, and we will be right back with your top stories. Our teacher of the week has spent 30 years helping students find their footing in life. WREL's Ryan Schrader introduces us to a Raleigh educator who keeps one of her heroes in mind every day in her classroom.
Shelley Godwin originally thought she wanted to be a juvenile probation officer.
I thought, no, I'd really like to get with kids before they get into the system and, you know, maybe do some preventative work.
Godwin has been teaching for 30 years at Mary Phillips High School in Raleigh. It's an alternative school that helps students who haven't been successful in traditional settings. She says the administrators and her fellow teachers at Mary Phillips are changing lives.
Here, I know I'm making a difference, and I can see the difference I make in these children. And it's just, and then they give me much more than I give them, much more.
And check out that shirt behind her. I asked her, what would Dolly do?
Dolly would come in this classroom every single day, and she would put a smile on her face, and she would do everything she has to do to help these children. You know, I feel like I'm doing Dolly's work here.
Shelley Godwin is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
I love her Dolly energy. You can look at all of our honored teachers and nominate a teacher you'd like us to recognize. Go to WRAL.com, enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Two people, including an 18-year-old, are dead after a shooting in Fayetteville. Two other men were injured. This happened on Rembrandt Drive around 3:30 this morning. It's not clear if police have someone in custody. A neighbor told WRL News she saw police take someone in.
Authorities are searching for the driver who led troopers on a high-speed chase before crashing. State troopers say someone stole this car in Person County. The driver led troopers on a chase at speeds over 100 miles an hour into Durham County last night. The driver eventually crashed the stolen car near Hillendale Road and Horton Street in Durham and then ran.
A push to allow you to bet on sports using your phone could be just a few steps away from becoming law in North Carolina. The full state Senate will vote today on a bill to legalize it. If it passes, the bill will have to go back to the House before reaching Governor Cooper's desk.
A neighborhood near Nevada is naming its streets after a Pokemon. The developer says she got the idea from her children. There's Squirtle Lane, Jigglypuff Place, and Charmander Lane, all well-known Pokemon. The developers have another neighborhood named after characters from the TV show Yellowstone.
Our pet of the day comes to us from Cat Angels NC. Angelica is an absolute sweetheart who adores human companionship. Although she might be a bit cautious initially, once she trusts you, she'll shower you with endless love and affection. Angelica gets along well with other cats and would be a wonderful addition to a multi-cat household. Just fill out an application on the Cat Angels website and you can take the first step towards giving this angel her forever home.
Coming up this afternoon on our news at 4, something you put in your coffee every day could actually be hurting you. The new study released today that shows a chemical found in Splenda could be causing serious health problems.
NBC News Daily is up next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Now go out and enjoy the sunshine and the comfortable temperatures. Have a great day, everybody.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.